Good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Thrilled to have you with us this evening here at your, you know, the usual place, the Liberal Resistance Headquarters. Thrilled to have you with us tonight at your home of the folks, the place where we champion those conservative principles, you know, limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, traditional values, the things that liberals hate. Hopefully my buddy Leo Delperdang just got back from Denmark. Hopefully you flew safe, got home safe. We'll get him on the show next week. He can tell us all about what it was like walking around in wooden shoes. Pleased to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach us at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and Truth Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. A couple quick calendar notes. Mark your calendars. The Kansas State Rifle Association's annual meeting is coming up on July 12th up in Topeka. Great event. They've just been chocking full. Great stuff at that. It's at the Ramada in Topeka. My buddy Dan Mears, who is the mascot for the Kansas City Chiefs, he's Casey Wolf, be their keynote speaker, but there's going to be all the gubernatorial candidates will be there. A lot of the other legislators and candidates coming up on next year's ballots will be there. Huge raffle with some great prizes, live auction stuff, memorabilia will be there. I mean, just it's a great event. Plus, it's the annual meeting for the KSRA. So if you're a gun guy, if you're into the Second Amendment, it's just it's an absolute fun event. You can get information on that at the KSRA's website and, of course, on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And my friends at AFP, Americans for Prosperity, are bringing Guy Benson to town. We'll have him on the show, but he's coming to town, coming up here next month. And as soon as I have more information to that, I'll share it with you. When I do, you again, go to the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. We'll have that information for you. Tonight, great show tonight. Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice. We had a huge week in the Supreme Court. Brittany Jones will be with us to discuss the ruling on parents that object to kids' books on gender identity and sexuality. We'll also talk with Craig DeRoche, president and CEO from Family Policy Alliance, about the ruling on Tennessee's Help Not Harm law. Pastor David Scarlett, former U.S. Marine and chairman and founder of His Glory Ministries, will walk us through how the border risks that we're facing from the possibility of sleeper cells from Iran. So, I mean, that just a whole bunch of topics along those lines. House Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter will join us to discuss how he and other leaders are likely to respond now that the Chiefs and Royals have requested an extension on the June deadline for stadium refinancing package, you know, that Starbond package for them to build a new stadium. Kathy Bond will be with us to update us on her campaign for re-election for the USD 259 school board. And we'll get a quick update on the upcoming class of the Kansas GOP Men's Leadership Series that started yesterday. And Kelly Arnold will be with us to kind of update on this on that. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. Busy show tonight, but we'll try and take calls as much as possible. So let me talk about the local elections coming up, because the calendar doesn't lie, and it's rapidly approaching. I don't think people are quite aware. June 29th is today. That means we're exactly 37 days away from the August 5th primary. You can start putting your yard signs out. And that's right, just 37 days. And first off, let me tell you something straight, clear, and unapologetically. If you think these local elections are nonpartisan, I've got some really lovely oceanfront property out in western Kansas to sell you. Okay, these are not nonpartisan races. Don't fall for it. Don't let the left, the media, or the weak-kneed establishment types fool you. These are not nonpartisan races. They are highly partisan. The left knows it. The media knows it. And they know that the fight for the future doesn't just happen in Washington, D.C. It happens right here in our backyards, in our city halls, and absolutely 100% on our school boards. And it's high time that we as conservatives, as Republicans, recognize that and start fighting for it like we mean it. And let me ask you this. Have you looked at who's running for the Wichita School Board? The Wichita Eagle ran an article in the paper, and I know Wichita Eagle is really traditionally used primarily for birdcage liner. But occasionally they will inform you. And they've got a profile on everybody who's running for the school board. And strap in, folks, because it reads like the cast list from a progressive activist documentary. Three current teachers from USD 259, like no conflicts of interest there. Nothing to see here, folks. You know, move along. Totally unbiased. There's more. Four registered Democrats. So again, you know, nonpartisan, my patootie. Four. One of them, not just a Democrat, but a full-blown left-wing activist from Kansas Appleseed, which is one of these right, I mean, far, far left-wing. I mean, just so far left, they're coming around the other side, this group. This group is radical. This group is out of the Mondami playbook, socialists. Another, just a paid employee of the American Federation of Teachers. Literally, someone who works for the teachers union. Running for the school board, USD 259. Like, that's going to be somebody who's biased when it comes to negotiating a teacher's contract. I mean, come on! You know, the same teachers union that fought tooth and nail to keep schools locked down, masks on your kids, and woke ideologies in your classrooms. I'm sure these folks are going to be real fair, balanced, and focused on reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? Yeah. They're going to be looking out for taxpayer dollars, right? They're going to be focused on accountability, on college and career readiness, certainly. They're going to fire bad teachers who are underperforming and replace them with teachers that are really focused on performance metrics, aren't they? Folks, there's a reason that groups like Planned Parenthood, you heard me, Planned Parenthood, are suddenly so interested in local school board races. Think about that. Ask yourself, why would a group whose entire business model is centered around abortion be so invested who controls your local school board? You know, Planned Parenthood, the people who usually were focused on killing babies, why do they care about what they're doing for education? I mean, usually they want the babies dead. Why do they care if you're educating them? What do they have to gain? What do they want access to? What are they trying to teach, or should I say indoctrinate your children with? It isn't complicated. The left knows if they control the school boards, they control the future. They control the curriculum. They control the policies. They control whether your kids are taught to love this country or hate it. They control whether your kids are taught to go to work or go down to Broadway and Douglas and protest on a Saturday. Whether they're taught basic math or gender ideology. Whether they're focused on reading or some radical Marxist-inspired social justice nonsense. And let's be clear, this didn't start yesterday. This has been the left's long game for decades. Remember Hillary Clinton, it takes a village. What she meant was, it takes the government, it takes the state, it takes the system to raise your kids. That's what they believe. They don't want parents raising their children, they want the government raising your children. That's why they are obsessed with school boards. Conservatives have been asleep at the wheel for far too long when it comes to these so-called nonpartisan races. We show up for the big ones, you know, president, governor, Congress. But when it comes to city council or county commission and school boards, we get 20% voter turnout. Way too many folks stay home. And that's exactly how the left wins and exactly why the left loves it. If we don't show up on August 5th, they'll win again. And let me be blunt. You don't get a do-over. The left is banking on you staying home and sitting on your ass. They're banking on you thinking this is no big deal. They want you complacent, compliant, distracted, tuned out, watching the NFL games. Meanwhile, they're organized, funded, and laser-focused. Listen to this quote from former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. The Republican challenge is to be united, to be focused, and be prepared to fight. He wasn't talking about some far-off political battle. He was talking about this, local battles, ground-level fights, where the left has been grinding away for years while we've been assuming someone else will handle it. This isn't just a fight against Democrats, though. It's a fight against the radical woke machine. It's a fight for common sense, for parental rights, for kids learning basic skills instead of getting lectured about oppression and privilege, for protecting girls' sports and the integrity of women, for keeping biological boys out of girls' locker rooms, for returning discipline, accountability, and excellence to our schools. And here's the kicker. It isn't just Wichita. It's happening in small towns like Goddard and Derby and Mays, suburbs, rural districts, and all across Kansas, all across the country. The left is pouring money, resources, and manpower into these races because they know the truth. School boards are the front line of the culture war. So here's what I need from you. Get involved. Know who's on your ballot. Don't take their word for it. Just because they say they're a Republican, trust me, they're not. When they say they're moderate or nonpartisan, that's hogwash. Look at their records. Look at their donors. Look at their endorsements. If Planned Parenthood or the KNEA or the KASB is sending the money, guess what? They don't share your values. Talk to your neighbors. Call your friends. Call the Sedgwick County Republican Party. Post it on Facebook, on X, or wherever you connect with folks. Remind them that sitting this one out is not an option. Get fired up. Write a check. Walk in a parade. Go door knock. Make a phone call. Get engaged. And most importantly, vote. Because if you don't show up on August 5th, the left absolutely will. 37 days, folks. Tick-tock. The clock is running. Are you in or out? I sure as hell hope you are. We'll take a quick break, and then Craig DeRoche, President and CEO of Family Policy Alliance, will join us to discuss this Supreme Court's ruling that Tennessee's Help Not Harm law will protect kids, much like voting. Jeez Louise. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Every month they do their Days of Action. It's the third Saturday of the month. It's a great way to get engaged and make a difference. You have the power to change the trajectory of our city, of the county. Make your voice heard today. Volunteer. Join them. Get out there. Door knock. Help out. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. It's a great way to get involved. And, of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And you can find me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Earlier this month, the Supreme Court ruled that Tennessee's Help Not Harm law, Senate Bill 1, which protects children from dangerous and irreversible gender transition procedures, is constitutional and can remain in effect. The law holds healthcare professionals accountable by providing victims an opportunity to sue for damages. It's a major victory with nationwide implications. With us now to explain why is Craig DeRoche. He's the president and CEO from Family Policy Alliance. Craig, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show this evening.
John, it's great to be with you tonight.
So, I call all this stuff child abuse. I don't see any, I think that's just the best way to term this. But really, if you look at this decision, I would say it's really ensuring that children who are struggling with dysphoria, with this type of, the kids don't know what they are. I mean, most kids when they're these ages think they're cowboys or astronauts. Parents don't put them in a spaceship and send them to the moon. So when you're doing these procedures that are permanently altering their bodies, I've always thought it was asinine that you would even allow these types of procedures in the first place.
And that's why we picked this up, and Family Policy Alliance started this. Shockingly, there wasn't a lot going on public policy-wise. In hospitals were doing these surgeries. No one was talking about it. They were lying in public saying they were not doing it. We brought forward whistleblowers. Why are you covering it up? If it's such a helpful thing, why are you doing it in the dark of the night without parents? Why are you lying to policymakers in Tennessee and Arkansas and these other states that are trying to protect kids? Vanderbilt University was doing this. My goodness, as soon as the Vanderbilt family might be exposed to civil liability, though, we'll see how much they support this. This was a huge win, John. Thanks for having us on. I want to talk about this as a pendulum swinging win for parents, and really our hope we have for America getting back on track.
Well, and I think America in general is finally starting to wake up to the threat that this whole gender ideology nonsense poses to our kids. Are they not? I mean, granted, it helps that we have a president that actually, you know, understands that there are only two genders. But isn't America finally starting to wake up to this nonsense?
It's starting to, but still, it was funny how difficult it was for us, right? That, hey, we all read about Rosa Parks when we were growing up, right? She
right.
got
oh, yeah.
to her seat first. She earned the seat by getting there first. Then we hear about Riley Gaines, who works for 21 years, a lot more than 10,000 hours to get her seat on the podium. But America, we lose our collective minds. You'd think liberals would recognize that as trampling women's civil rights, but they didn't. And parents, too, just like you're talking about, John, people were shocked for some reason. Three Supreme Court justices thought this was okay. Can you imagine if we saw how America reacted to, I think, properly when we learned that parents were buying test scores for ACTs for their kids to get them into college.
Right.
And people said, you all are nuts and you're horrible parents, right? Can you imagine if, like, we found out that a bunch of parents were giving their kids anabolic steroids,
right,
knowing it gives young men testicular cancer, but they're like, you know what? He had to get a girlfriend. He had to get on the varsity team, and it helped him with his self-image. You know, we would have been saying, you need to be put in jail. You're a horrible parent. But for some reason, people were frozen like deer in the headlights, and we had to litigate this all the way up to the Supreme Court to try to get it to make sense.
It is kind of surprising that it had to go that far. We're talking with Craig DeRoach, president and CEO from Family Policy Alliance. Craig, to date, 25 states have passed these Help Not Harm laws, including Kansas. Do you think right. more will follow now that the Supreme Court has made this ruling? Obviously, it protects states like Kansas, because I know liberals in Kansas were already preparing to challenge our law. So I guess this is a two-pronged question. First, do you think Moore's will pass it? And second, do you think challenges are now going to be harder to proceed now that the Supreme Court has ruled?
I think, and thank you for these questions. I want people to get ready to adopt a posture of winning in our nation. People, if you can hear my voice on the John Whitmer Show, which is an amazing show.
Thank you.
In Kansas here.
I'll send you the check.
Guys, and you, and I'm going to come see you, brother. You do great work.
Thanks.
I love your show. And I know your audience does, too, because they know that we can put In God We Trust in schools now. The Supreme Court ruled on that, you know, last summer, like, that separation is gone. You know, so we have to, people are like, whoa. Yes. We told you about that a year ago. We're now adopting that posture. The ACLU and all these states where people are donating plaques and bringing God back into their elementary schools, they're just backing down. They're like, we can't fight that anymore. And now with this, too, like you're saying, the sanity of children, we have a juvenile justice system. Because guess what? We, both Republicans and Democrats, knew that people's brains didn't develop until they're
right.
18. We had a common understanding that, you know, young men are going to act like jerks, getting fist fight when they're 15 or something in a Burger King. You don't have to call the police, right? You can do something different, even if the police are called, than if they were two 35-year-olds, right?
Right.
But all of this insanity when it comes to sexualization of our youth, and I can't help but to think of why. Why? Why do they need this? Why do they need our kids sexualized? Why do they need them participating in these things? Why do they need to train them in our schools? But it's all over now. So back to the point I was making, not only did the Supreme Court say this is done, they put an exclamation point. John Roberts, which a lot of your listeners might think is squishy sometimes, he said, by the way, and for the record, they know what a woman is. So they ruled and answered that question without even being asked that. So the shenanigans of saying what is a man and what's a woman has been settled by the Supreme Court. So that is 50 years of game playing by the liberals that they ended.
Did Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson get that message? Because I know she's still struggling with that question.
She is, but John, this is, I'm hardcore, right? So thank you for having me on your show. Those of you, Family Policy Alliance, check us out. But I would make fun of John Roberts and them and say, yeah, she doesn't know what a woman is, right? But and you do, finally, last week. But I've been waiting for some of you for 30 years to say you know what a human being is.
Right, yes.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it would be more powerful.
Yes.
It would be as powerful as if six of them said, we know what a human being is. It starts at conception. Because now the 14th Amendment would apply, you know, immediately. But that's how powerful that is, them saying they know what a woman is. It gets rid of all of that LGBTQ chicanery. But we have a lot of work to do in Kansas and all 50 states.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I think the message is pretty crystal clear from, because I read the gist of the, a brief of the, of the, of the decision. And I think you're absolutely right. Greg, if folks want to connect with you, I know you mentioned it, but it's familypolicyalliance.com, correct?
That's right. We're Family Policy Alliance, and we're a little bit unique. So come check us out at familypolicyalliance.com, but also Kansas Family Voice.
Yep. Brittany's going to be on the show here the next hour, and we'll talk about the decision on the books that we won as well. So it was a great week in the Supreme Court. It was a fantastic week for conservatives and for parental rights in particular. So, Craig, thank you again. I appreciate you joining us this evening, my friend.
God bless you. Thanks for having me on.
You too, my friend. Coming up, we'll talk with Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter to discuss how legislative leaders are likely to respond now that the Chiefs and Royals have requested an extension to an end of June deadline for a stadium financing package. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. And of course, from breaking news to severe weather updates, just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And while we're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and like and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, the president of the Kansas Senate, Ty Masterson, said Thursday a meeting with the bipartisan Legislative Coordinating Council, the leadership, would be called for July 7th to extend the deadline for the Kansas City Chiefs or Kansas City Royals to accept an offer of financial support for construction of professional sports stadiums in Kansas. This comes after both teams requested time to review and respond to proposals from Kansas and Missouri. With us now to explain kind of what's going on, what this meeting is, and what the chances are of actually landing a team is the Speaker Pro Tem of the Kansas House, Blake Carpenter. Representative, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on this evening.
So, I mean, you know, I think we're all familiar with this process. You know, Kansas put the proposal out there. Missouri tried to pass something. Taxpayers rejected it. Then they tried to run a bill. They couldn't get it passed. They had to call a special session. Finally came up with one. And for the listeners, essentially, and I'm giving just the 30,000 foot view here, but essentially the Missouri package is 50% of construction costs. But it's paid for by taxpayers, and the Kansas package is a 70% of the cost, but it's paid by sales tax dollars. That's basically the gist of it, correct?
Yeah, so if they were to decide to come to Kansas, it would be based on future taxes that we don't actually have today. So, for instance, if somebody builds a stadium in the middle of a farmer's field, and we were just simply collecting property taxes on that farmer's field, and they turn it into a $1 billion complex plus a whole bunch of businesses around it, the area in that district is now, all the sales taxes generated would then go to pay off that bond. And so it's not necessarily something that the state is putting any taxpayer dollars towards. It's future revenues that we would get because of the infrastructure that was being built there.
And when that bond is paid off, however long it takes, but when that bond is paid off, then eventually that sales tax revenue would then go to the state.
Correct. For example, Legends is a similar project up in Johnson County. It was paid off years and years earlier than what the bond was actually set up for. And now the state of Kansas actually brings in $50 million a year on sales tax revenue just from that district alone.
So you guys put together the proposal. The one that you've put out there expires here at the end of this month. So, you know, the Royals and the Chiefs finally responded, say, hey, we need more time. And so they've asked you to extend it. The LCC, which is basically the legislative leadership that meets when the legislature's not in session, has to meet to basically extend the deal. Do you have any idea how long they'll extend it for? I mean, I talked to Ty. I think he's thinking maybe 6 months. Is that kind of where you're thinking?
That's kind of what I've heard is the thought process is about a 6 month period just to add a little bit of extra cushion. But from what I'm hearing, this could be wrapped up within the next two. And really what I've been hearing is that it's actually not the teams, that have been dragging their feet or anything like that. From what I'm hearing, it is unfortunately government moving at the pace of government.
That's what I've heard.
Yes. And so it is actually, from what it sounds like, it's been on Kansas government that has basically caused these issues. And so it's one of those deals of they've been willing, from what it sounds like, to come to the table and have these discussions. But it's not fair for us to say, well, the contract ends at this date if we're the problem.
No, I will spare you having to do it. I've heard from sources that are very familiar with this that the issue is actually specifically our Lieutenant Governor Toland, who is also the Secretary of Commerce. His office has just basically left this thing in a drawer or wherever they do and has let it sit and hasn't bothered to respond to it. And that's been the delay, that the chief sent a proposal and it's been collecting dust. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, crap, I guess we better respond to this thing. And that's been the delay, basically. Now, I don't know if you want to comment on that or you just let it sit there, but that's what I was told from sources very familiar.
Yeah, and I'm sure we probably have similar sources in that regard. And that's pretty much, the story that I have heard up to this point, unfortunately.
And see, I don't understand why they would do that.
Legislative leadership has been holding people's feet to the fire on what's going on. And as soon as they've done that, then it started moving again. So what? I'm hoping that, you know, they can continue to progress and do what they're supposed to be doing and negotiating in good faith efforts with folks that they're supposed to be negotiating with.
Do you have any idea what possible reason, other than just flat out incompetence, what possible reason would the governor's office have to slow roll this thing?
I have no idea.
See, and that's when I asked that question, they didn't either because they can't. It's not like there's a political reason or there's an election. I mean, you and I both know why Laura Kelly didn't get on board cutting sales tax on food because she had a chance when we were freshmen. She had a chance 4 years ago. She finally embraced it when she was up for reelection. So I'm looking at this package and I'm trying to think to myself, why are they slow rolling it? Well, there's no election for her anytime soon. So that, you know, unless she's trying to do this to time it with next year's gubernatorial election, and then they can say, we brought the Chiefs to Kansas, vote for me. But that's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, honestly, still have no idea because that's so far out. And,
right.
And the time and the deadline would never be extended that far based on just this whole issue. And if we were to go past this year, or if the proposal was to push it out past December, I think that at that point the legislature would have to take another vote on it because otherwise it would be disingenuous and I think disenfranchising the people's representatives to weigh back in on this matter since the deadline was so egregiously passed and it would have to go before the people's representatives again before we'd move forward.
Well, and even the Chiefs have said they can't wait too long. I mean, they've got contractual requirements with their existing stadium and with developers and contractors. They got to get on this deal. So I don't think they can wait any longer, but who knows? I mean, you and I both know, trying to figure out what Laura Kelly's going to do is, yeah, who knows?
Well, sometimes it's pretty easy, actually.
Well, that's true.
It's pretty one-track mind there. Yeah. But, yes, other times it's who's leading the leader, right?
That's true. Very partisan and very political. So if it's either of those things, it's pretty easy to tell what Laura Kelly's going to do. Blake, I appreciate you, brother. If folks want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to reach out and connect with you?
Feel free to reach out on my Facebook page, which is either Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter. That is probably one of the best social media platforms to reach me at. Another way is blake.carpenter@house.ks.gov. That is my email address. Feel free to reach out anytime. Would love to answer any questions.
Appreciate you, my friend. Thank you again for joining us. Keep us in the loop, buddy.
All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate you having me on.
We'll take a quick break, and then we'll get an update on the new 2025 class of the Kansas GOP's Men's Leadership Series with co-chair Kelly Arnold. Our studio lines are also open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They're doing back to doing their Days of Action. It's the third Saturday of every month. If you're looking for a way to an opportunity to get out, help with candidates or help to educate voters, reach out to AmericansForProsperity.org and make your voice heard today. Again, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And don't forget the Kansas State Rifle Association's annual meeting coming up on July 12th up in Topeka. Fantastic event. It's their annual meeting. If you're a Second Amendment guy or gal, if you love your Second Amendment rights, it's a great event. Lots of meeting. Lots of folks will be getting together. We'll have the majority of the gubernatorial candidates, other folks running for state offices. We'll have a forum of legislators to talk about this last year's session. And of course, Dan Mears, Casey Wolf, is the featured speaker, and some phenomenal prizes available for raffle, for auction. Just a great event. You can get that information at KSRA.org and on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. So, also one of the neat events, if you're a Republican, if you're a GOP, if you're a conservative, you've probably seen the guys in the red jackets. That's the Kansas GOP's Men's Leadership Series. They just kicked off. It happens every other year. It's an opportunity for men. You've probably heard of the Eisenhower series for women. Well, the Men's Leadership Series is for men. And if you're interested in getting involved in campaigns or working on a staff or running for office, it's a phenomenal way to educate, to learn, to get more involved in not only in party, in politics, but in leadership in general. They just started the 2025 class. The co-chair of the series is Kelly Arnold, and he joins us now. Kelly, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Good evening, John. Great to be with you and your listeners tonight.
So I know the series just started yesterday, but if folks are still interested, they can sign up because they can miss the first one, but they're still, they'd have to make the rest of them, but they can still join. But this is, and I've seen the guys, obviously, because I was a graduate of the first class, but it's a great opportunity for folks who are men who are interested, who want to get involved in campaigns or are thinking about running for office or want to work on a campaign, be a staffer at a federal or national level or even at a state level or who just want to get involved in politics, right?
You hit it right there. We have graduated over 250 people here in Kansas that have then got engaged in running for office, whether that be state office or even local commission, city council. This year, candidates are up for local office, and we will have a number of our graduates running for office, and we're excited about that.
I didn't realize you've gotten 250. I didn't even realize it, and I've been helping the series for a decade.
Yeah, it's and we have a limited class. I mean, we cap it because, you really want to build that camaraderie with guys, that networking that you're going to do. And so we try to limit the scope of how many people. But I'm excited about this year's class. We have a broad and diverse group with us this year, from young to older to experienced to not experienced. And that's what makes a perfect mix for the Men's Leadership Series.
And from all across the state, too. I mean, I know there are folks in this class, men in this class, from all four congressional districts, from all across the state. And you guys go over all topics. I mean, I know you cover everything from taxes and spending to the different political issues affecting us today, you know, Second Amendment, life, the courts, education. And then you do a whole day that's just campaigns on how to build a campaign, how to run for office, fundraising, how to, you know, collateral design, all that kind of stuff, dealing with the media. I mean, it's just, there's so many issues that you guys go over. And the speakers, I mean, just yesterday I saw Congressman Derek Schmidt was there. You had the attorney general there. I know you've got, former Governor Collier coming to speak at one of your future classes. You'll have political consultants and professional fundraisers come. So you've just got a variety of folks who come and speak at these, correct?
And that's what really we bring the best of the best people that are in the different fields within elections and within politics here in Kansas. We want to make sure you hear from experienced people, people that have the cutting edge campaign strategies going on. What is going on in Washington, D.C., what are going on in other states, and bring that here to Kansas and equip each of these class members to go out into the field and put that to use.
And, of course, when they graduate, then they get those really snazzy red jackets so that when people see them, they think they're either wait staff or valets to park their cars, which is really one of the best aspects.
And I also tell them it's a great opportunity to wear those to Chiefs games
trust me.
Can't
we get blue and orange ones?
Red jacket. The idea of having a red jacket, really became a good thing for this class because you wear them to your local party meetings, the state party meetings, when you're out engaged in political events, whether they're fundraisers or in your community. People have been wearing the red jackets, which has brought an opportunity for them to tell people about the men's leadership, how they can get engaged. You talked a little bit about, we just had a first class, and yes, we still take applicants even after the first class. If you can make the rest of the series, you can contact us. We do have a web page that you can email or submit information to, and we will get right back to you. That's mlsks.com, mlsks.com. And we'll get you connected.
That's right. It's mlsks.com. And I know actually the next session, which is once a month, by the way, one Saturday a month for 5 months. And the next one, it actually happens to be here in Wichita. So if somebody does want to do it, they can come and they can step into the class and they won't have to drive. I know the last one was in Topeka. You've got one coming up this month, next month in Wichita. The one after that, I think, is in Abilene. Then you'll have one in Johnson County or then the last one back in Topeka. So it's not a long commitment, but they're very highly educational. You learn a lot, and I think it'd be a lot of fun. So again, it's MLSKS.com. Kelly, thank you for joining us. Best of luck to the series, my friend.
Thank you. We'll see you guys again.
Yes, we'll take a quick break. And then after the top of the hour break, we're going to talk to Pastor David Scarlett. He's a former U.S. Marine, hoo-yah, and chairman and founder of His Glory Ministries. He'll warn us how Joe Biden let millions of unknowns across the U.S. border and ask if the nation should brace for sleeper cell retaliation post the Iran strikes. We'll be back right after this.